Happy Monday and welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today, and I'll be joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast in a moment. But first, the Spurs are done with their three-game road trip, and hey, they won one. That's good, right? We're going to be doing some takeaways about the last three games for your Spurs. And also, at the rate the Spurs season is going, the team is starting to play some of the young guns. Keldon Johnson's getting more run. Lucas Samanich recently made his NBA debut, and Witherspoon got some run. But there's one player that still is stuck in the Austin Spurs, and that is Chimezie Metu. Is it time for the Spurs to bring him up, and what do we like out of the young center? So, Joe, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And by the way, buddy, are you feeling okay? I know you got your wisdom teeth pulled recently.
Yeah, I'm feeling better, just a little sore, man. So I'm good. I'm still, you know, hanging in there.
Maybe you need some Wolverine powers to heal fast.
Yeah, I could use this healing factor, man. I'll tell you that right now. Hate having teeth extractions. It's a real pain, dude, on both ends.
Yeah, I bet. All right. So, Joe, the Spurs finished off a three-game road trip. Didn't go that great. They got one win barely in Charlotte. And needless to say, they got blasted by the Nets. It was not even a contest at seconds into that game. And then, of course, against the Cavs, they went to overtime, and they still got that L. Joe, looking back at the last three games, what are your thoughts?
You know, to be honest, Jeff, I got to lay it down for Spurs fans. We're without, you know, both of these last two games that they had these losses, we were without Lonnie Walker. We did not have Jakob Poeltl, nor do we have LaMarcus Aldridge. For all three games, we're without, you know, Jakob Poeltl and LMA. I think that had a big factor into the final tally, let's say, at the end of the game, because it seemed like specifically with Brooklyn, the size bothered us. Same thing happened again with the Cavs. The size inside the paint bothered us. We didn't have anybody who could match up. Given, you know, the Brooklyn game was just one of those that you just burn the tape and move forward. But the Cavs game, they actually got themselves back in, but they're just unable to get the stops. Too much, you know, Drummond and Love, you know, for the Spurs to overcome. So it is what it is on that end. They just couldn't get the stops and couldn't capitalize when they needed it the most. They went cold. They had a drought. An OT, of all things. You know, Rudy Gay had the hot hand, and an OT, not so much. And that's pretty much all she wrote. So needless to say, everybody's disappointed, Jeff. It's hard to watch, man. And that's the collective out here in Spurs Nation and with the fans.
Yeah, look, they eke out a win versus Charlotte. And let's just face it, Evan Fournier just missed the layup. That's what it came down to. But versus the Nets and then versus the Cavs, you're right, that size matters, and it really mattered a lot for the opposition. The Spurs simply didn't have any size. They were going with Drew Eubanks, you know, and then, you know, he's a big dude, but, you know, he's not Jakob Poeltl or he's not LaMarcus Aldridge to patrol the paint, and he's still young. He made a lot of dumb mistakes. Rudy Gay, they had to play him at the five sometimes. All in all, this is a worse time to get injuries is when they're chasing that eight seed. And right now, I believe, Joe, they can only afford maybe four or five more losses, and that's it. I mean, that is completely it. They're still mathematically in it, but it's looking bleak. You mentioned the injuries. You know, they were without Bellinelli, and I know he doesn't have the greatest reputation among Spurs fans, but that is just another body out there they could have thrown. They were without him. They're trying to make the best of it. And Rudy Gay even addressed that. The situation that the Spurs are going through right now with the injury bug. He's saying, quote, we're learning on the fly. We try and figure it out under man, playing with different lineups. We're trying to figure it out. You couldn't have guessed this would be happening now. He's talking about the injuries. And yeah, Joe, I mean, how much is that impacting this team right now? The fact they're having to play different lineups in a season where lineups and situations and rotations has been an issue.
Yeah, it has been an issue, you know, and it's not just the lineups per se. It's just the production out there for any given game. There's no real consistency out there from our starting five beyond what you see out of DeMar DeRozan pretty much almost every single night. You know he's going to drop you in at least a double digits as far as, you know, scoring goes. And, you know, he's a great person when it comes to assist. Now, LaMarcus Aldridge, that's a different story. You never know what you're going to get from him and the rest of the starting five. Same thing goes for the bench. Sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're not. And, you know, with that inconsistency, I think that has more to play with what the Spurs have been doing this season, more so than injury. Because let's face it, Jeff, at the end of the day, we know injuries are part of the game. And you're going to have to find ways to win, even when one or two of your pieces are missing. And in our case, we're missing our bigs, you know, so somebody's got to step up. We just haven't seen that. And I think it has more to do with inexperience. Look, Spurs fans are always clamoring for the young guys to get there and get some run. But you got to pick your poison. When you have the youth enter the game, it's exciting to watch. But they're also inexperienced, and they need to get that experience. And there's only one way to do that, and that's when they're inserted in the game. And you're going to see them make mistakes, and they're not going to play up to par. I mean, but it is what it is. It's a growing process. So you have those two ends of the spectrum, Jeff.
Yeah. Look, the Spurs in their last two games, those being the two blowout losses. Well, I didn't say blowout losses. I'm talking about the score, and that's what I'm going to. They gave up 130 or more points to the Cavs and to the Nets. Their defense is just shot. To give up that many points, Joe, over 130 for the game, that is absolutely just abysmal. And in their last two games, they're getting smacked. They're losing by an average of 11 points. They were minus 11 the last two games, and they're only averaging, you know, they're putting up points, 124.5 in the last two, but they're giving up way too much. Joe, I know mathematically this team is still in it, but I mean, I think it's all she's wrote already, right?
I'm pretty sure it is, Jeff. I still hang on to that glimmer of hope. But yeah. I mean, realistically, the Spurs are going to have to win just about, 80% of their last games, the 20 games left. So that means that they're going to have to go 16-4 to finish off the season. And with the lineup that they have coming up, they have Dallas, they have Denver, Minnesota, Memphis, and New Orleans. Yeah. It's not looking very good, you know? So you're going to see them probably drop maybe four out of the next five or six games. You know, they might win one, and they're going to drop the rest of them. So they're going to mathematically take themselves out of the equation and just hope that Memphis will somehow miraculously go on a losing streak, or, you know, New Orleans will go on a losing streak and kind of help them out. But I think really what we're looking at, Jeff, is that this team is going to struggle to get over 30 wins this season. They might come where, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 33, 34. It's kind of a disappointing season. Spurs fans are out there wanting them to just tank the rest of the season and go after a high pick. But unfortunately, Jeff, you know as well as I do, if you don't get at least a top five pick, there's not really a lot in there in the top 10. This is one of the worst NBA drafts that's upcoming in recent memory. So there's really not a lot to play with unless you get one of the top picks. And to get that, the Spurs might actually have to give up something that Spurs fans are clamoring, they're holding on to right now. And that's our youth. I mean, do you want to give up our future for a maybe? I don't. So it is what it is on that end, man. It's kind of like, it's too late to tank, but at the same time, you know, maybe they just need to put in the young guys. If it's already, you know, hey, Pop is waving the white flag, just let the young guys ball out, rest your veterans, and hope that nobody gets injured in any way.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the numbers now, Joe, on the as far as the opposition is concerned in the last three games. And you could just see right away the Spurs are not getting it done as far as defense. Then again, when did he really do that this season? In the last three games, opponents are a plus +7 versus San Antonio, and they're shooting 49% from the field. They're shooting 40% from the three-point line. And Joe, they're averaging 53 rebounds per game versus San Antonio, and that comes out to 124.7 points per game in the last three. And the Spurs, well, they're only averaging at about 117 points per game. So, in the last three, that is. So, it just not been good. And, Joe, let's face it, this team could have gone 0-3 if you really think about it. They got lucky to get that win versus Charlotte.
They did get lucky. And, you know, that's the hard part, I think, for everybody to kind of come to terms with, Jeff, is that they should have won. But, unfortunately, they just can't get over that hump. Right now, they're their own worst enemy. on paper, they look good. You know, it looks like they have a decent enough roster to get the job done. It's just the product that's out there on the court has not lived up to expectations. So in my opinion, Jeff, there has to be some changes. What those changes will be interesting come the off season. But unfortunately for Spurs fans, it's just, you know, part of the process. You know, it's hard to see this team going through what they're going through. But at the end of the day, the silver lining has always been at least the youth is getting some much needed experience out there to get better. And realistically, I think we're looking at maybe two more seasons, maybe three at the most, before this team starts getting back to form again and looks like a stereotypical Spurs team, you know?
Yeah,
a lot of changes need to be made.
Yeah, and let's talk about that youth. Lucas Samanich, we'll start off with him. He made his NBA debut versus Brooklyn. Didn't do too well offensively. He looked a little timid. He looked a little lost, you know, in the headlights. He did show some good work on the defensive end, but pretty much that was it. He did not play in the following game versus the Cavs. Weatherspoon, the same, you know, didn't really wow anybody in his game versus Brooklyn. I think he didn't even score a point. He had an assist and a rebound here or there. Again, you know, didn't really show out. But then there's Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson looked great, looked really good. During this last three games, and maybe his only, I guess, hiccup was against the Cavs. Didn't really do too much. But overall, Joe, I was able to speak to some of the veteran players about Keldon Johnson after the Brooklyn game. And they told me from Derek White to Patty Mills and more, Rudy Gay, they love Keldon Johnson. They see what they got in him. They see that he can drive to the rim. They love his fearlessness. Joe, he's been the standout, hasn't he, in the last three games?
He has, you know, that's one of the things that I think Spurs fans are excited about, Jeff. I think they're really excited about the play of one, you know, Keldon. He's been killing it. You know, then you had, like you had mentioned as well, Luka. He looked a little lost, but I want to kind of get back to Luka a little bit because Spurs fans, they raked him over coals, man. In his debut, you know, I mean, like the kid only got a couple of minutes to shine. You know, and he looked a little shook. I mean, it's his first NBA game. What do they expect him to do? You know, everybody's a little nervous in the beginning. But then you go to on Twitter and you just see Spurs fans just hounding the guy. And, oh, I don't think he's going to be who we thought he was. And I'm like, it's one game. Remember, what's his name? Lonnie Walker looked the same way in his debut. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we kind of lay off the rookie a little bit. But Keldon's been looking good. You had also Quinn has got some minutes as well. But I got to tell you, man, I think everybody collectively is really hyped over Keldon Johnson and what he's been able to do out there on the court. I got to tell you, man, the way that he uses his body, he shields the ball, the way he can play defense, he's not afraid to mix it up with these big guys. I mean, he's got the size and the bulk to, you know, hey, I'm no slouch. You can't just push me over. You can't just run me down. You know, he's got a little dog in him, and that's what I think we're missing right now. We need that stereotypical enforcer out there. We need a person who's not afraid to get into the opposition's face and mix it up with them. And I like his aggressive nature. He's not timid when he's going to the rim. He's aggressive. And that's what we kind of are missing. I think the Spurs get complacent, and they look for a lot of their jump shots to bail them out. When the jump shots aren't falling, then they go through droughts. They just need to put their heads down and be aggressive like Keldon has. And he gets to the stripe, you know, hey, if I'm going to get to the stripe and I'm going to at least put in, you know, put some points on the board. If we're in a drought, kind of start getting us going, going again, you know, getting us back in the game. So I think the young man is ready to contribute, but I don't think they're going to really use him that much this season. But next season, you never know, man, maybe he'll make that lineup, you know, he'll find a way to get into the bench, or maybe he'll find a way to get into that starting lineup. But the kid's ready, Jeff. I got to say, he looks great.
Yeah, he does look good. You know, versus the Cavs, I think he finished with 2 for 3 from the field. And you know, it was a tight game. I think he didn't get too much run out there. You know, the Spurs were gunning for the W. But, hey, he's looking good. And I think that's the positive in the last three is that the Spurs are slowly starting to let the young guns run. And even Eubanks, too, Joe, he got some run, too.
Yeah, he did. You know, I got to say, you know, Eubanks has been looking pretty decent out there. He's kind of making a case for himself. should the Spurs keep him or, you know, let him go? Should they throw some money at him? I mean, he's making their decisions a little harder because you like the energy that he brings. You know, he has that youth, he has that athleticism, and Spurs fans really haven't been able to see what he was capable of doing until recently. So I think that's exciting. You know, at least you have a solid player there, you know. And the same thing is, we don't know what one, and we'll get to that later on, Shazemi Metu can do as well, Jeff. So you have that there too.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue. All right. When we get back, Joe and I are going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs and talk more about Metu. Talked a little bit about the young guns so far. They've been getting run. But, hey, you know, Metu's been really lighting it up in Austin. Does he deserve a shot at least to end this season or more next season? We're back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia. He is the host of Two Shots Podcast, another great Spurs podcast you definitely should check out. Joe, you talked about him, and it's time to put him in the spotlight. Chimezie Metu. The kid is just destroying the G League. He turned in his eighth or ninth double-double. He's wrecking it in the paint. He's starting to show a little bit of a jab step jumper. He's not afraid to hit the three-point shot. But Joe, he's in the Austin. Spurs are not calling him up. Do you think they're messing up right now by not bringing or calling up Chimezie right now?
I think they are, but maybe there's something that they're just seeing that they want him to work on. I think right now they kind of do him a disservice because what you're seeing him do in the G League is nothing short of miraculous. He's actually upped his game quite a bit since he first came in to the league. Right now, what he's averaging, I think, 29.3 minutes a game. He's averaging 17.6 points a game from beyond the arc. You know, he's not shooting all that bad. I mean, he doesn't really shoot too many three-pointers, you know, but his three-point percentage right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 0.345. So it could be better, but at least he's not afraid to take that three, you know, and then he's his assist are 2.8 per game. Rebounding, he's at 9.4. Steals, 1.3. Blocks, 1.7. Yep. I mean, he's playing an overall, I think, good game, you know, well-balanced game there where he's able to give you something not only on the offensive side of things but also on the defensive side. And another thing I like is I like his size. He's 6'11". He clocks in at 225 pounds, and he has that length, that athleticism, and more importantly, if you watch him play, he can get off the ground super quick, man. He's just springy. Yeah, I like that about him. He can help the Spurs crash those boards. You know, that's where they need that help, crashing those boards. He can do that for him.
Yeah, look, with the Spurs out, LMA and Poeltl, I really thought that they were going to call him up to bring in some big man help, and they didn't. I think they could have and they should have done that. Even if he's just a body out there, you know, give six fouls on DeAndre Jordan or, you know, Kevin Love, you know, and the big losses. I mean, so be it and let him get some experience. But nevertheless, he is still with Austin. Look, he's averaging great numbers. There's no doubt about that. And he ranks among centers in assists and scoring. So he has the goods. Joe, why do you think Metu's not getting the call up right now?
Again, you know, I think it might have more to do with something that they're keeping an eye on, something that they want him to develop or a skill set that they want him to get better at. You know, I don't know what it is exactly that the coaching staff is looking for out of Metu, but I think that he's done his time here. You know, he's been with the Spurs on occasion, then he gets called back to the G League, then he gets called back up to the, you know, come and play on trash minutes, you know, with the Spurs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what they want out of him. To me, if you compare Chimezie to Eubanks, I don't know, man. I would have to give the nod to Chimezie. I think he can really come out there and be productive. He just hasn't gotten the call. Maybe that has more to do with something that Coach Pop sees in the coaching staff as far as matchup-wise. That's the only other thing I can think of. But obviously, me and you aren't the guys that make the calls because if we did, I mean, we would have most of the young guys out there balling out every night. But, you know, I really don't know why he hasn't gotten the call up, you know?
Yeah, and it could be, too, maybe simply this, the easy answer that the Austin team just needs body as well. You know, it could be simple as easy as that. And look, Metu, I think he has a promising future in the NBA. What we've seen in the G League is just outstanding. It's eye-popping. I really, you know, it baffles me that when I see him, he basically looks like a man among boys. And he really, really does. And I just want to know if he, if there's, like you mentioned about the Spurs, you know, maybe they see something we don't, maybe it's a negative. In today's NBA, he needs an outside shot, and but he's developing it. He has a mid-range shot. He's not just a in-the-paint banger, you know, goes up for easy dunks, cherry picks, rebounds for layups. No, he's showing he has an all-around game. Defensively, he's a beast. He can block with the best of them. I think, Joe, there has to come to a point this season where Pop has to say, you know what, bring in Metu. The season's pretty much done. Let him get his burn. Do you think that'll happen?
I don't know, man. I mean, stranger things have happened, so I'm not going to say it won't. But realistically, I mean, what are the chances of him coming in and getting some real run? You know, I don't really think there's a lot of opportunity for him in that regards. And that's just because of the way the coaching staff is. And right now it seems like they're leaning more towards having Eubanks get the call up rather than Shemezi. I really do hope that they go ahead and put Eubanks back in the G League. As you said, they need those bodies there. And if they do so, you know, call up Shemezi and let him get some minutes. I would like to see them split their time, you know, for the rest of the season. Because, you know, we really haven't seen a lot of Shemezi. We've seen a lot of him in the G League. But I want to see him, you know, get up for a game and really ball out here for the Spurs. When, I mean, what realistically, what are they really playing for at this point? You know, let the young man get some run, man. He needs that experience. Because sooner or later, you're going to have to make the decision. Who are you going to keep? And there's only so much money to go around and so many roster spots that you can fill, you know? So you need to see what these guys are made of in the complexion of a real game situation. So that's why I want to really see him get some minutes here before the season ends.
You're pretty much a free Metu, right? You're a camp free Metu. Bring him up to San Antonio.
Yeah, definitely, man. Free Metu. Let him go, man. Let him ball out. Give him the green light. Let's see what the young buck got, you know, what he got out there on the court when you pair him with some of the other younger talent that we have out there. I think that could be quite exciting to watch, even though the team might continue to lose. If they can get some explosive dunks, some alley-oops, some behind-the-back passes, some, you know, really intense blocks, I mean, that would give Spurs fans hope for next season, you know? So at least give them some fan service, you know, us, the fans. Give us what we want, man. We want to see some of these young guys get some run. So let's start with Shemezi.
Well, he has played some minutes this season, and he's had a season high at Oklahoma City. He's in points, 8 points. He's had a season high in rebounds, 8 versus Boston. And in blocks, he had 2 again versus Boston. So, you know, hey, when he does get some run for the Spurs this season, he's shown that he can contribute. When we get back, Joe and I are going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs. But first, when you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, you can add skill tests to your job posts. You can also be confident in your applicant's abilities by using that skill test. Now, Indeed has a library of more than 50 skill tests, ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. So post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions, exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. We're back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia. He is the host of Locked On. I'm sorry. Well, you pretty much are pretty much a perimeter revolving co-host, Joe, on this show, but you are actually the host of Two Shots Podcast. And Joe, the fact that you had your mouth operated on to get those wisdom teeth out, it hasn't impacted you, man. Are you still putting it all out there the way Manu Ginobili played without a, well, you know, with less of one man thing? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he gave his left one for the Spurs, and you can do the research on that. But yeah, man, I just try to, you know, come out here and do what I can, man, to keep pushing the Locked On Spurs podcast forward, you know. So yeah, I had oral surgery, but my jaw is just sore. You know, I talk too much anyway, my wife tells me. So I was kind of quiet for the last couple of days. So she was probably happy with that. But now that the swelling's gone down, I'm back to form now. So let's get it done, Jeff.
Hey, Joe, did you see the new trailer for Black Widow?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. I'm excited. You know, I got to say it's intriguing me, and it looks like it's going to be entertaining, to say the least. So I'm for it, man. I can't wait for it to come out.
All right. Well, Joe, the Spurs, they got the Dallas Mavericks next. And before I let you go, I just want to throw this out there. Luka Doncic averages a triple-double versus the Spurs this season. Not just any triple-double. He averages 30 points or more triple-double. Joe, what do you think about tomorrow night's game? Do you think the Spurs get the W or it's another L?
Absolutely not, Jeff. I think that's a pipe dream. I think right now the morale is low. It's low, man. And we saw what the Mavericks did last time against the Spurs. I mean, basically, they just put it on them. I think the Spurs can make things interesting, but without LaMarcus or without Jakob Poeltl, or even, you know, having Lonnie Walker in there to kind of help a little bit as well. I just don't think the Spurs have enough firepower or the manpower to overcome the juggernaut that is, you know, the Mavericks. Size-wise, yeah. I think the Mavericks are just going to have their way with the Spurs inside the paint. The Spurs right now, they just really don't have an answer with the absence of their big men. So that's really hurting them. But I just think that they're going to make a valiant effort and go out there and try and compete. But I just think the Mavericks will be too much in the end. You know, I'm just being realistic. I hate to burst the Spurs fans' bubbles, but I mean, they probably know the same thing as well.
Yeah, it looks like it might be a very long night for San Antonio. And as of right now, we don't know if LaMarcus Aldridge will be back. We know Poeltl likely is going to continue to be out. But LMA, can you believe this too, Joe? At the Brooklyn game, Popovich said the reason why LMA didn't come back because he was playing some workout games with Matt Bonner. And during that game, his finger got tied up in the basketball net. And LMA aggravated his shoulder like that. Of all things, Joe. I mean, that's the season in a nutshell right there. Just that's how you got re-injured, LMA, playing one-on-one basketball with Matt Bonner.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, man. You're hanging with your buddies. You're having a great time. And you're getting your tequila. And you're going to get that little piece of lime to squeeze it and, you know, do your shots. And what happens? You squeeze the lime too hard and it gets in your eye. Kind of ruins a good time. That's exactly what happened here, man. Matt Bonner ruined our good time. So you all can send your hate towards Matt Bonner. I'm sure he'll get a good kick out of it. You know, he's having fun with it. And so did the Fox Sports Southwest guys. They did a bit after one of the games. I think it was the Brooklyn game. And he said, Matt Bonner, you're fired for hurting LaMarcus. And he walked off the set. You know, it was quite amusing, man. So he knows. I'm sure he feels bad for it.
Well, Joe, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and Two Shots Podcast.
For everything you all guys need to know about Two Shots Podcast, just go to our website, Two Shots Podcast, all spelled out, TWOSHOTS podcast.com. And it tells you everything you need to know as far as where you can follow us on social media. And we have a video wall where you can go and check out all our great YouTube videos, including the recap that we do called the Spurs Takeover after almost every other game. So make sure you go ahead and check out our great content at twoshotspodcast.com.
For me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News Force San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need to know about your San Antonio Spurs, including what did the head coach for the Cavaliers have to say about, well, one of his players and a Spurs great. Maybe you might not agree with him. It's all there at the Spurs Zone. And this wraps up this edition of Locked On Spurs. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Spurs. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.